For wisdom, notice, is better than rubies, than all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Wow. The riches of Jesus Christ. Read the book of Ephesians. All spiritual blessings given to us by Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has walked in relationship with the Lord Jesus for over 5 decades. He's enjoyed the rich blessings that come from worshiping at Christ's feet, seeking wisdom from His Word, and finding strength in His Spirit. For a free DVD of Raul's testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Well, as Raul continues our series in Proverbs today, he'll illuminate how you can navigate life's complexities with sound judgment, discernment, and eternal perspective, all wonderful gifts that come straight from Christ Himself. Stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio to see that Jesus is the source of all true wisdom, and when you seek Him, He'll equip you to live out His highest will for your life. Here's Raul Reese now in Proverbs chapter 8.
Here is Solomon once again speaking to us. What's really powerful here is that we just left the chapter where the adulterous woman was trying to seduce the young man. Now wisdom invites those that have been naive and invites them to come to hear wisdom so they can become strong. And of course, here we're going to see that wisdom is personified here by Jesus Christ. Christ is the one that is wisdom. He starts in chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. He's actually making a plea in public. He says, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice?" So here is a call of wisdom, a type of Christ, calling men to salvation. Think about it for a moment. Calling men and women to salvation. To me, it's just incredible when you read the scriptures and you begin to see the power of the Word of God. That at the same time when you think of wisdom, you think of the knowledge that God will give to us individually. And yet everything that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord, it is so powerful because when He gives it, it's a free gift of God. Salvation is not something you can work for. It is a gift and it's free. And it's given to us as we come to repentance and we admit that we have sinned against God. And once God sees our hearts and the humility as we're repenting, asking Christ to come into our lives, then Christ, as wisdom, begins to work within each one of our hearts. It begins to mold and shape our lives into His image, which I love so much, the way He works. But here the proverb is taking wisdom as a picture of a woman crying out to men. And on every hand, God has placed inducement to lead men to think of the ways of righteousness and to continue to seek after understanding. This is so cool how it does that. Verse 2, she takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the path meets. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city. Notice what he does here. She does what? She also meets them in various walks of life. It doesn't really matter who you are. And that's the way Christ is. If anyone wants to come after me, let him follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Salvation is being put out to the whole world. Whoever wants it is free, and yet many are called, but few are chosen. How sad. And yet, look at verse 3. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. So here we finally see that she's crying out at the city's gates, which was the center of business, and also the political matters were always discussed at the city gates. Who do we find in chapter 19 of Genesis at the gates? Remember in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot, the nephew of Abraham. These were the places where they made business. They did business, the dealings of business. And it's incredible how the proverb is just expounded this way. In verse 4 and 6 now, who wisdom seeks, notice. To you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. So she's calling the simple and also calling to the fool. The one that has rejected God, the one that doesn't want anything to do with God, he gives them opportunity. Nobody will be able to stand before God and say, you know what, wisdom or Jesus Christ never ever gave me an opportunity. That would be a lie. Everybody, the Bible says what? For God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So here's wisdom again, verse 5. He said, oh, you simple ones, understand prudence. Oh, you fools, be of an understanding heart. Notice the character of wisdom teaching it again as described. Verse 6. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. I love that. The way Solomon brings out the word of God, and here Solomon is describing her wisdom, his speech is excellent and right. You can't go wrong by listening to Jesus or wisdom. And then in verse 7 and 9, wisdom summons, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with the righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. And imagine since we come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by reading his word, by attending church, and hearing the word of God in our hearts and our minds, how we begin to grow and develop spiritually. And then God begins to use your lives in a mighty powerful way. Verse 10 to 21, listen, wisdom's riches are real. The value here of wisdom's instruction. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Notice that wisdom is above any kind of gold or silver or any jewel in this world. It's the best thing you could ever get. Jesus Christ. It's incredible how easy and simple it is to go to heaven. And yet, why is it so hard for people to come to know Christ? It's that pride, it's that deception from the enemy. Because you think about the things that God does to people in order to get their attention. I mean, sometimes it can be something that happens in your family or something to you. And God is always trying to get our attention. And yet people, instead of looking up to heaven, what do? They clench their fists. They begin to speak against God. And instead of turning and repenting and saying, Lord, I know that it's you that has done this because you love me so much and you want to draw me to yourself. Lord, I repent and I'm turning to you. But yet, most people don't do that. They get bitter. They get angry at God. And then they start blaming God. And yet, God is the one that does everything for us. He doesn't force anybody to come to know him, his love and grace and mercy, but he allows us to have a free will to be able to choose heaven or hell. And that's the way God works within each one of our lives. And then check this out in verse 10. The value of wisdom's instruction here incomparable. Receive my instruction, not silver, and acknowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom, notice, is better than rubies, than all the things one may desire. Cannot be compared with her. Wow. The riches of Jesus Christ. The riches, spiritually speaking, that he gives to each one of us individually. Read the book of Ephesians. All spiritual blessings given to us by Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find out knowledge and discretion. And then gets this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So at the beginning, he started with the fear of the Lord. Here, once again, he uses the fear of the Lord. In the beginning of wisdom, remember verse 1 in chapter 7. And here now in chapter 9, he's talking about the fear of the Lord is to do what? To hate evil. And yet the world loves evil. They love evil. But when you come to Jesus Christ, I remember when I came to the Lord, coming out of the world and just being a few days old in the Lord, that already at that particular moment, the things that I was watching, the things that I was listening to, the things that I was reading, guess what? The Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And all the leaven within the home that I had to get rid of it, clean my house out. So in order for God to have his blessing upon my life, my wife, my children. And I think that's something that when we get calls from people outside of the church, they'll call us and say, well, we think we have demonic activity going in our houses. And then we begin to ask the questions. Because if you're a Christian, but yet your children or somebody in the house is not a Christian, and every night they're playing with Ouija boards or reading cards, or they're into the cult or whatever it is, you're going to have problems in your home by demons oppressing your home. And when you become a Christian, you got to get rid of all the leaven. Fully, completely. You can't keep it. That's why it's so cool how he talks about it here concerning the fear of the Lord. And then check this out, verse 14. Counsel is mine in sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. Notice who Jesus Christ is and who wisdom is. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. I love that. Check this out in the next verse. By me, princes rule and nobles, all judges of the earth. So it brought to my mind once again that no matter who we are in the next election, we have a legal right as Americans, okay, in our democracy to vote. Yes, God is in control, but at the same time, he's given us the will, and we have to support our country. And we have to come to that place in our lives where we need to choose someone that we're going to vote for and look at all of the things that they're actually believing in. Going through that whole list. Whether Republican or Democrat doesn't really matter to me. I am a Christian. I'm going to vote as a Christian, not as a Republican or Democrat. He goes on in verse 16. By me, leaders and rulers and nobles are all judges of the earth. And then he says this, I love those who what? Love me. Isn't that neat? I love those who love me. So important to love God with all of our hearts. Think of how many people hate God and they blame God. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a sinful world. So when I read this verse 17, I thought about this Jesus Christ's love and grace and mercy that he gives every single day to everyone and anyone that wants it. And check this out what he says. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I like that. How many people really, truly are diligent in seeking for God? Not many. Not many. When you really, truly seek for the truth, you will find it. You will find it. God's not going to deceive you. And so when I read that, I thought, oh, how many people are not true seekers of God? They always want to seek God with something they want from God. God wants you to come because you love him more than your wife, more than your husband, more than your children, more than your grandbabies. Remember Sunday I told you guys that? It happened to me. I started falling more in love with my little first granddaughter when she was born than Jesus Christ. And God told me, that's an idol in your life. And I had to repent. And I told people on Sunday morning, I said, you know what? I stand here before you today that I love God today more than my wife, more than my sons, and more than my grandbabies. Jesus Christ is number one in my life. And he has to be like that for every one of us. He has to be. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Because remember the text in Matthew? He says, if you don't hate your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, the word hate there, to love less. God has to be number one. And when he's number one, naturally and supernaturally, your wife, your husband, your children, your grandbabies, your whole family will be loved by you if you're a real Christian. Not hating people, loving people, caring for people. That's the way it is. So when he brought out the scripture here, I love those that love me. And then he said, and those who seek me diligently will find me. And then he said this, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. To me, it's amazing that I may not have a lot of money, but I am a billionaire when it comes to the things of God. I love it. Seriously, I mean, what else can you want? Eternal life. And what God is preparing for those that love him in the future when we die and go to be with the Lord. By the way, Christians don't die. We make a transfer over to the next life. That's it. Our bodies stay here. They turn back into worms. Thank God for that. And I mean, it's amazing. Why would you want to buy a big old expensive box to bury someone you love when it's of no value? The greatest thing you should be worried about before they die is their soul. Because once your body, when you die, the moment you take your last breath, guess what? The body begins not only to deteriorate, but your spirit comes out of your body and it goes to be with the Lord or it goes to hell. So I love the way the proverb is set up here about loving God and then, you notice, again, being diligent. And then check this out, verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So if you have all kinds of millions of dollars in the bank, in the stock market, he says that's nothing compared to what God can give to you. Why? Because when you die, you leave it all behind, and somebody else uses it for you. Or abuses it for you. Seriously. So what do? We invest it in the kingdom of God. That's what we do. That's where the eternal bank is. And that's why here in the proverb, he wants to make sure that we understand what kind of fruit we're going to bear. Verse 20, he says, I lead the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice. Again, wisdom, Christ. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. And that's not talking about money. Spiritual wealth. Notice this. That I may fill their treasuries. Isn't that cool? That I may fill their treasuries. And then verse 22, the influence that is infinite. Notice, now Christ is defined here. First of all, his eternal generation. The Lord Jehovah possesses or created me at the beginning of his way before his work of old. He's talking here about Jesus, the Word, in the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, remember, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim. And then watch this. He's appointed for him eternity. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, and from there was ever an earth. John 1:1, 1 John 1:1, Hebrews 1:1. The Word tabernacled Jesus in the beginning here in the proverb. Speaking of Christ himself. And then his pre-existence, verse 24. When there were no depths, I, Christ, was brought forth. Notice, when there were no fountains abounding with water. He has always existed in eternity with God the Father. In verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I, Jesus, was brought forth. While as yet God had not made the earth or the fields or, notice, the primeval or the highest dust of the world. And then he talks about his presence in creation. When he prepared the heavens, I, Jesus, or wisdom was there. Isn't that cool? When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, the earth, the circle. Look how cool it is. When he established the clouds above, the Shekinah glory of God, the clouds. And when he strengthens the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit. so that the waters would not transgress his command when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Think of the tides of the oceans so they would not go over into the cities. The way God has done everything, the way everything is balanced today. So we need to realize who God is in our lives. Fully, completely, as he's bringing about here. The activity of what? Of his creation. And then look at verse 30, what he says. And then I was beside God as a master craftsman, as creator. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was on the sons of men, these angels. And then notice wisdom, friends, in Fortune 32, 36. In verse 32, and now therefore listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed, or oh, how happy is the man who listens to me. Notice, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Isn't that cool? Waiting upon God to speak to us. Spending time in the Word. Spending time in meditation. Spending time in sharing with other people. Blessed is the man that listens to me. The one that takes instruction. The one that obeys God's Word when he speaks. Verse 35. For whoever finds me, notice, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, if you don't find him, then there's no life. There's death. Eternally. And imagine how many millions and billions of people will be in hell and then in the lake of fire forever and ever because they never were able to find Jesus Christ. With all the opportunities of the internet, satellites, MP3s, I mean, we have everything we have in this world. Nobody is without excuse today for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, too much is given, much more will be required. Which means what? There's a hotter place for those people than before. Because the light is greater than before. With all the technology we have today. Think about that. It's pretty heavy what he says. The accountability and responsibility that we have to knowing the truth of Jesus Christ. And then telling others, whether they accept it or reject it, that's up to them. God hasn't called me to convert anybody, just to deliver the goods and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that he wants to do. And then in verse 36, he says, but he who sins against me wrongs what? His own soul. There it is. Those that sin against Jesus, man, are damaging their soul. And all those who hate me, check this out. Love death. Love death. They're on their way to hell.
Well, it's so encouraging to know that when we receive Christ's gift of salvation and surrender to his lordship, we can expect that he'll equip us with all of the insight and understanding we need to walk in his will. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Now, to review today's lesson, simply call us at 800-634-9165, and we'll send you a complete CD copy for a donation of $5 or more. When you make your request, simply ask for Raul's teaching from Proverbs chapters 8 and 9. To further inspire you in seeking the guidance of Christ, we'd like to tell you about Raul's four-part audio series simply titled Wisdom. Formatted for your convenience on either CD or an MP3 flash drive, this resource zeroes in on what it looks like to truly trust God's goodness as you ground your life on the firm foundation of his word. Contact us today to order Raul's Wisdom series on either four CDs or an MP3 USB drive. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase this faith-building resource, and we'll send your format preference for a gift of $19 or more. Once again, that number is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also encourage you to connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio to take advantage of all of our free resources. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that explores how to glorify God in the daily decisions of your life. You can also download all of these programs as podcasts and download our app to your iPhone or Android. This free app features an easy Bible reading plan and digital Bible studies, as well as a link to our online resource store. This ministry is committed to enriching your spiritual journey with the life-giving truth of God's Word. We welcome any ideas on how we can best support you. And we also encourage you to contact us if you're weighed down by burdens that need to be lifted up before the Lord. It would be our joy to pray with you. Somebody Loves You Radio is funded through the partnership of listeners like you. It's your generosity that helps keep us on the air, and every gift is tax deductible. Join us next time as we continue with this series in Proverbs. We'll explore several helpful points of guidance for applying your faith to your life in practical ways.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.